Welcome to The Workbench, where each week we take the time and make the space to build and create in our lives. I'm your host, Christina Awe, and I'm a writer, coach, and human resources professional with a deep interest in helping you find clarity, overcome obstacles, plan, and take action on your big dreams and goals. By doing this and sharing the journey, we build and create, and we inspire others to do the same. So let's get to it. And welcome to another episode of The Workbench. Today's episode is both a shout-out and a reflection to Greg McKeown in his brilliant book, Essentialism. His work has changed my life, giving me the permission needed to refocus on what I wanted out of my life, not what I felt I should be doing. I highly recommend his book. It's well-organized, well-written, and he has woven together so many great elements of thought and how to cut through all the noise. I hope you enjoy it. Many of us remember our parents telling us as children something to the effect of, "Be careful of the company you keep." This was meant to remind us to make good choices in the people we decide to hang out with. And certainly, many of us remember the times that we didn't heed that advice and were impacted by our not-so-good choices. This idea has been ever-present in my mind over the last few years as I make my daily commute to San Diego. I'm in the car for at least 2 hours a day, and while there are definitely days that it's a drag, I feel lucky to be commuting in this age of technology and to have several excellent podcasts keeping me company, inspiring me, opening up my mind, giving me courage and resources to pursue the things that I'm interested in. Mom and Dad were right. We need to be careful of the company we keep, especially when in the very early phases of exploring an exciting new idea or dream. Tim Ferriss, Lewis Howes, Seth Godin, and Michael Hyatt, these podcasters all share a powerful message of positivity interwoven with the actual how to get things done. In almost every podcast, I've been able to find at least one idea or action item that I can apply to the building of my own body of work. And more importantly, these voices are all saying, yes, you can do this, and here's how. This company I've been keeping has helped make it possible to slog through the inevitable moments of doubt, weariness, fear, and questioning, and I can't underscore this enough how relevant this old parental advice is. So today, I'd like to share one of the major books that has shaped my thinking over the past several years. It's called Essentialism by Greg McKeown, and there are so many great ideas in there that can be applied to increase focus, fulfillment, and satisfaction in our lives and in our work. I found Greg McKeown by stumbling across an article he wrote with the title, "If You Don't Prioritize Your Life, Someone Else Will," which I love that title. Gaining awareness of this idea was extremely powerful, and it was a bit daunting too, because what this means is that the ultimate responsibility lies within each of us to create and defend how we spend our discretionary time. If we're responsible, then when we say, "I'm too busy," that's a cop-out. We aren't owning our own decisions on how we fill our time. McKeown outlines the idea of essentialism as follows, and I quote, "The way of the essentialist means living by design, not by default. Instead of making choices reactively, the essentialist deliberately distinguishes the vital few from the trivial many, eliminates the non-essentials, and then removes obstacles so the essential things have clear, smooth passage." In other words, essentialism is a disciplined, systematic approach for determining where our highest point of contribution lies, and then making execution of those things almost effortless, end quote. So that idea of the highest point of contribution is an amazing idea, and I want you to keep that in your head as you're listening to the rest of this. This book is broken into four sections. Part one talks about the essence. What is the core mindset of an essentialist? Part two explores, how can we discern the trivial many from the vital few? Part 3 is about elimination. How can we cut out the trivial many? And part 4 is about execution. How can we make doing the vital few things almost effortless? So much in this book has been put to use in my own life, and I'd like to share with you 3 of the ideas I implemented that have changed how I operate. All of these are used within the larger and more essential idea of having determined where my own highest point of contribution lies, that of writing, podcasting, and coaching. The top 3 ideas are the ideas of 1, protect the asset, 2, trade-offs, and 3, saying no gracefully. Protecting the asset. I regularly use this idea in my coaching and at work because it's so relevant to how we set up our lives today. How can you protect the asset that is you? So many people I know continue to add to their lives and their lists by shaving the margins of the personal time they need to think and reflect, to exercise and eat well, to feed the engine that is our body, mind, and soul. To be effective in our lives, there are basic elements we need that are seemingly at odds with our always-on world. Our options and choices have exploded, but our capacity as humans to process has remained relatively unchanged. And the relentless marketing messaging that comes at us all day, every day, makes it seem like we should be able to turbocharge our bodies with all manner of boosts, energy drinks, and drugs. Did you know that there is a quiet epidemic of mothers taking the ADHD drug Adderall so that they can stay focused and get through all the work they feel they need to do in a day? That's crazy. According to one article, the number of prescriptions for Adderall for U.S. women has increased 750% between the years of 2002 and 2010. We all, men, women, and kids, feel we have more to do, we have less downtime, and the marks this leaves on our psyche, it's unhealthy. The answer is not to schedule better, it's to regroup and redefine what is important and essential in our lives, the things we want to commit to, the ones that'll bring us fulfillment and satisfaction. So to start, it's essential to get enough sleep, to eat well, to exercise, and to have that time for reflection and relaxation. If you have an imbalance here, you're not alone. This is hard to achieve, but it's also worthy of your attention and intention to solve it. Like putting on the oxygen mask on the plane, take care of yours first so that you can help others. And you don't have to make big changes in your life all at once. All you have to do is one small thing to move towards better balance. Small steps applied regularly will get you to your desired state. This leads to the second key idea of impact, the idea of trade-offs. We have to sleep, we have to eat and exercise and work, we want to spend time with our families, and then what? There's always a lot on the list, but it boils down to just doing more things. When talking about trade-offs, it's about reframing the paradigm. Instead of thinking about how you can do it all, you can ask, what do I want to go big on? It's very seductive to think that we can somehow fit all of the stuff we want to do into our lives by scheduling better, by walking both sides of the line, or by burning the candle at both ends. But it always comes back to, what results do you want, and what's your most important priority? Reframing your options within these questions can lead to better clarity and decision-making in the face of all the inputs that we face on the daily. And the other piece of this is FOMO, or fear of missing out. How many times have we arrived at a party with mixed feelings, not wanting to miss out, but in our souls wishing we were somewhere else, maybe at home relaxing or at a quiet dinner? It can be really hard to discern what's more important, but if you go to the party, the trade-off is that you miss the relaxing night at home. You can't do both. This can be applied everywhere in your life. The feeling of FOMO dissipates when you have the reflection time to understand what is most important to you in the moment, and you make the decision consciously rather than by default. A family friend of ours shared his strategy for deciding whether or not to go out for events, and that was, if it was more interesting to go out than stay in, he would go out. As it turns out, there were many more nights he decided to stay in, and he wasn't conflicted about it. I have used this in my own life to great success, and the great thing about this is that once the decision is made, I can drop into fully enjoying the things that I've chosen to do. So this all seems so obvious as I'm writing it down and putting it together, but there are all of these unseen in the background values at play. We want to serve and we want to be part of something bigger, so it seems that we should attend or volunteer or participate. If we don't dig into the why behind what's driving our decision-making, we have undermined our own ability to choose. McCune states in his book, quote, "The ability to choose cannot be taken away or even given away. It can only be forgotten. And choice is at the very core of what it means to be an essentialist," end quote. So this leads conveniently to the third key idea of impact for me, which is the ability to say no gracefully. This can be very hard at first to get comfortable with, and then it becomes beautifully easy. It's hard to say no because we want to serve. We don't want to let others down. Sometimes we feel obligated. Often, as in the case of work or family, we have expectations that we have to meet. And if we haven't done the work to discern what's most important, we often don't really have the words to politely and gracefully say no. It feels awkward. And then there's also the elemental human group dynamics at play. We want to please and we want to be included. And then there's that damn ever-present guilt. Many of us would rather hang from our fingernails than carry around this burden of guilt. But the vague, uneasy guilt is wasted energy, and McCune offers these strategies. Number one, separate the decision from the relationship. Number two, find different ways to say no without using the actual word no, like, I'm sorry, I can't, I've overcommitted, or I don't have the bandwidth right now. Number three, when you focus on the trade-off, your graceful no can grow out of a clear but unstated calculation of the trade-off. Number four, remind yourself that everyone is selling something. Number five, make your peace with trading popularity with respect. And number six, remember that a clear no can be more graceful than a vague or uncommitted yes. So where do I apply these concepts in my life? Paying attention to my body and what it needs has been pivotal for me. I neglected this for years and it took a real toll. While I don't always get it right, I focus on getting enough sleep and trying to get some exercise every day. I mostly eat well and I regularly take time to reflect and relax. There is no perfect formula, only a continued paying of attention. It's taken me several years to understand my own energy ebb and flow and to get to a place where I feel that I have this dialed in. But focus on sleep was the first step, and that's had a huge positive impact on my decision-making process and mitigating my own anxiety and reducing the amount of stress and minor colds and illnesses that used to be more present in my life. Understanding the idea of trade-offs was also extremely important, and this intertwines with being able to gracefully decline an invitation or project that doesn't fit in with what I'm going big on. Even today, as I sit here in my writing room, there are at least five other things that I would enjoy doing, but I decided that this comes first. I have decided that my commitment to sharing these ideas as part of the workbench is what I want to go big on. So the house is a mess, I need groceries, I have company coming this week, I have work all week, and I'd like to do some gardening, but I choose this. And what this means is that everything non-essential comes after. So I hope these ideas stimulate your thinking about becoming more of the designer of your life, and that the beautiful idea of having choice can lead to a feeling of empowerment, allowing you to make the trade-offs you need to without feeling guilty, and to say yes or no in a way that is appropriate for how you would like to be living. I'd love to hear how you can apply these ideas in your life. If you have a story you want to share, you can get in touch by leaving a comment at christinaaw.com, or you can send me your story at my email, which is aw.christina@gmail.com. That's aw.christina@gmail.com. Until next time. Thank you for joining us today at the Workbench. We welcome your comments and would love to hear what you are in the process of building. Look us up at christinaaw.com. That's christinaaw.com. And if you enjoyed this episode, you can help us with our build by subscribing, sharing, and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. We aim to inspire and stir the pot for the next big thing you want to build or create. Until next time.